He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, would you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tar Heels.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
You are on a Wednesday Drive, WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where last night was deja vu all over again for the Tar Heels. For the second year in a row, Carolina has arrived at a fork in the road. And the game that pushed them to the brink was against Wake Forest in the same building at Joel Coliseum. And even though the Deacs won by 22 last season, and last night somehow ended up just being a 7-point loss for the Tar Heels, last night felt a lot worse. And to steal a line from Hubert Davis last night, the reason's because we know they should be better than that. Too many guys are back from last year's team for this squad to be in this position again. But you can really tell today, WD, who watches the game and who looks at box scores. It reminds me of Kevin Durant when he was once ranting on Bill Simmons' podcast about, air quote, blog boys. Blog boys. You don't actually watch the games. You just look at the box scores. You see what the margins are, how many points they put up. And the 7-point margin is very deceiving because Wake Forest led by 20-plus at halftime. They led by 20 for most of this game. It was a blowout. Credit to Hubert Davis after the game for not doing the, oh, well, we fought back and we put in a good effort in the second half and I was proud of that. None of that crap. None of it. And after the game ended, many of these players, they understood that this was not an acceptable effort for them. They were preseason number one. They made it to the Final Four last year, and here they are in the same position again at around the same point in the same building as last year, dealing with this same uncomfortable conversation. Now, I go to a lot of games, usually this time of year, two or three a week, and haven't even tried adding up over the years how many basketball games I've gone to. But in the regular season, I've never seen a more dramatic, unusual, somber, awkward post-game press conference for a regular season game than what happened with North Carolina last night. North Carolina's incredibly accessible, their folks over there. They do a great job in giving us players and preparing them for the pros, where reporters are going to be going into your locker room. You got to be ready for that if you're going to be a college player wanting to play in the NBA, and Carolina produces pros. We know that. So usually they would open up the locker room 10 minutes after a game ends. We go in, we get our stuff. Hubert Davis then meets with the media. I don't got an opening statement. You guys just fire off questions. Let's do our thing. Last night was different. The game ends, 10 minutes passes. We're sitting there in the bowels of Joel Coliseum. We're right outside the North Carolina locker room, and we're just waiting. 15 minutes passes. 20, 25, 30. Wake Forest players are walking out of the locker room with already showered and pizzas, celebrating the win. Steve Forbes is looking over. Has North Carolina done their stuff? Usually it's protocol that the visiting team, the losing team, I should say, they speak first because they got to get out. They got to get out of Dodge, get back to Chapel Hill. They're looking over. What's going on? 30 minutes passes. 35. Close to 40 minutes after the game, the sports information director for North Carolina, Steve Kirshner, who's been there for decades, walks out of the locker room and says, the locker room's not going to be open. We're going to bring out some guys to you, though. And we immediately know, oh, well, something's up here. Oh, something's up. When Hubert Davis met with the media, there were three or four different points at the press conferences where he had 10-second-plus pauses when trying to answer a question. It was like he was walking on eggshells, didn't want to say the wrong thing, wanted to be thoughtful. Listen to our guy Armando Bacot after the game.
Armando.
Apparently, he addressed the team after Hubert did. It was a full-on coming-to-Jesus meeting, as Bacot outlined here.
I mean, really, I just told everybody, like, I'm not going to quit. If you want to be here on Thursday. If not, just go on. Go to a university like this and just have no pride. I mean, I'm not perfect either, but I love this university, and just go out there and giving out that performance is just, unexcusable, you know.
This is the optimism I've got for you today, though. Because of last year, can't write them off. Last year, a lot of people did, and it was hard to blame them. You had a first-year coach. What are they going to do? Go to the Final Four? Well, that's exactly what they did. So for that reason, you can't write them off. Wake Forest and Joel Colosseum represented the turning point for last year. I remember Brady Manick telling me, after that 22-point loss, Hubert, they thought they were going to get a pissed off Hubert Davis telling them to run gassers at practice the next day. And Hubert was super positive and said, how cool is it that you guys get to play at North Carolina and all this? They thought it was a joke. Why is this guy super positive? Well, that's exactly what that team needed. And the next night they played Virginia Tech on a quick turnaround. And that's when things started to roll and get pushed in the right direction for the Tar Heels. We'll see what's next for this group. And when you look at the schedule, four of the last seven games are at home. And this is a really good home team. They've only lost one game at home. And two of the three road games are against bad ACC teams. I think Florida State and Notre Dame. So don't write them off. It's not the day to overreact and panic, even though it seems like the Tar Heels themselves might be overreacting a bit. 336-777-1600 is the phone number. Will Dalton, the executive producer of this show. Will, you hanging in there? You seem pretty somber in that post game yesterday.
Well, so I'm not panicking because We already.
I'm not even a Tar Heel fan, but when I got home from the game last night, I told my wife, I'm bummed out. After dealing with that Carolina team. I mean, I was bummed out. Wake Forest was certainly happy. We'll get to them. But Wake Forest went first, and then the North Carolina guys bummed me out.
Well, okay, so you're talking about this was kind of the turning point last year. Did it feel this? Because I wasn't in locker rooms last year this time. Did it feel like that last year at any point?
I don't think you know at the time. You don't know at the time, but then when you start to get some nice wins in February, things started to turn around. And I guess we'll see. But it did feel like that was, it's going to break one way or the other after last night. That's how that felt.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ed in Winston-Salem who wants in first. Ed, you're not going to overreact today, are you?
No, sir. First of all, let's give Wake Forest credit and also Coach Forbes. I mean, he doesn't have the talent, and he's not recruiting the ball players that Carolina and Duke does, and he does a hell of a job. I mean, I watched that game last night, and I could not believe how much Wake Forest dominated him. To me, what they play like reminds me, I've been a Carolina fan for 50-plus years, and they played like a Carolina team. I mean, everything they've done was, you know, it was almost perfect. That was almost a perfect half. And give Carolina credit. They did come back and score 60 points. But that, to me, that game was never in doubt. I knew they would never win when, you know, by putting themselves in that much of a hole. But I would like to briefly go over the schedule. You mentioned that briefly.
Yeah, do you feel good about the schedule? Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a few more quad ones left. You got NC State on the road. You got Miami next Monday. That's a quick turnaround for them in Chapel Hill. Duke comes there. I mentioned the bad teams that you play on the road other than NC State. That's the reason why Carolina fans should feel okay, right?
Yeah. And like I say, they've got some big name teams, you know, Clemson, Miami, Virginia, and Duke all at home. If they could win out of those four, you know, and win five out of the next seven, maybe six out of the next seven, and win two or three games in the ACC, I think they'll be okay. But if they continue to play like they have and our two guards shoot 37 shots and make 35%, you might be saying NIT. But I'm still optimistic, and hopefully Hubert's 40-minute talk last night will get him back on the right track.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Ed. I second that on the guards taking that many shots in a game. But it does feel like a collective. Real quickly, jumping to the NBA. Last night, LeBron broke Kareem's scoring record. And even though most of the sports media recognizes that's a significant news headline today, it seems weird that the most incredible part of this feat is being missed largely today, at least to me. Here's what's most impressive to me. LeBron isn't even known for his scoring, per se, and he just broke the scoring record. Think about that for a second. When I think of LeBron, it's his ability to facilitate. Get the ultimate get the team into the right shot guy. He's not Kevin Durant, known for scoring, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan. No, he's, I don't mind having just as many assists as points if that's what the game dictates, or rebounds. That's what I remember. When you think about his most iconic plays, they're not all scoring. It's dishing a pass. His most iconic play might be a block in Game 7 of the 2016 Finals. So when I look at LeBron, that's the part that's most impressive to me. And in my opinion, LeBron still needs to win another title to make a strong argument for being the greatest player of all time. But that does not mean he hasn't had a better career than Michael Jordan has. And it's okay to parse things with nuance that way. Like, let's take it to the NFL. There's been no better playoff quarterback ever than Joe Montana. When you look at how often he got to the playoffs and how much success that he had. No better regular season quarterback than Peyton Manning. Neither of those quarterbacks is the greatest. Tom Brady's the greatest because of overall sample size, consistency, and the overall resume. Nobody in the NBA has had a better career than LeBron because, unlike the other greats, and you can pinpoint whoever you care to here, he never let anything get in the way of basketball. Never. All this longevity, and nothing's gotten in the way of that. Larry Bird, he would drink heavily in the off seasons and be out of shape by the time he showed up in the fall. Dealt with back problems, obviously, for those who know. You think about Michael, it's gambling, it's baseball that got in the way in points. Greatest player, not the greatest career. You think about Magic, classic partier, notorious partier, to the point where that got in the way of his career. LeBron has been most impressive in the social media age, never has had a controversy unless you count the decision, which in hindsight doesn't look that bad at all. Never had a significant injury, and if you think that's luck, it's not when you consider how he takes care of his body, which is a big part of his influence as well. The impact he's had on the sport, people trying to follow in his lead the way that he's poured into his body. That's something that he's changed the NBA with. He's given everything to that league. Never played in college basketball. Jumped straight to the NBA. Won a championship for a franchise that has never won in his home state, won a championship for the staple franchise, the LA Lakers. It was incredible to watch last night. In a great moment that Kareem was there to hand the basketball off and all of it, and they stopped the game. It was fun to watch. But LeBron, I don't view him as the greatest player ever, but I do view him as having the greatest career ever. And you can parse those things, I think. After setting the ACC record for free throws made last night, a record that stood for over 60 years in the ACC, we caught up with Ty Appleby one-on-one, and you'll hear that conversation next on The Drive.
One, three.
You're on the air.
Wake up with Jeffrey Griffin and Triad today, weekday mornings at 7. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
As far as an individual performance in my memory bank for a point guard, the best, especially against an opponent like that, with those kind of players, tremendous.
That was Steve Forbes with some really high praise for Ty Appleby last night. He's coached a lot of very good point guards over the years. He had AC Law back at Texas A&M, one of the more fun players in Big 12 history. That's before A&M joined the SEC. He had Fred VanVleet at Wichita State. He had Alondis Williams, who was the ACC Player of the Year for Wake Forest last season. And it was a historic night for Ty. 35 points. Because of the COVID year, he's playing his fifth season of college basketball.
I got fired up.
It's true. That is how many seasons that you've had, Ty.
I got fired up.
And 35 points, that's the most he's had since December 5th of 2018. Two teams ago, he played for Florida the last 2 years prior to joining the Deacs, and then was on Cleveland State. He scored 37 against Bowling Green back December 5th of 2018, and he broke the ACC record for free throws made last night, 23 of 28. The record was 21 before last night, set in 1957 and 1959. So you're talking about a record that stood in the ACC for 60-plus years that he broke. And the way that he broke it, I was in the back, so I didn't see any of this happening. I had already gone downstairs thinking that the game was going to end in just a couple of minutes. 15 free throws were attempted by Ty Appleby in the last 2 minutes of that game last night. So he breaks the ACC record. Really cool for him. And then outside the Wake Forest locker room, I had a chance to catch up with Ty. Now here with Ty Appleby. Ty, I got some Ty Appleby trivia to start things out. Do you know how many times in your career, which I believe tonight was game 144, you've had 20 points plus, 10 assists, and 5 rebounds?
How many games?
Yeah.
I don't like one. This one.
This was it.
Yeah, I was about to say. I ain't, because I don't really, you know, get that many rebounds like that, you know. When I'm on the offensive board, you know, or in the defensive board, it feels good sometimes, you know. Assists, I think that's just come, you know, naturally, especially with the guys I play with now. They shoot the lights out, so it's just real. It keep it real simple for me.
You had obviously the ACC record for free throws as well. What were you most proud of in your game tonight? It seemed well rounded, but what were you most proud of?
I think I'm proud of, you know, how my teammates, you know, backed me up, you know, all through the night. I'll say that for sure. You know, even some shots, you know, that I took, you know, that wasn't, like, you know, so good or anything like that. You know, my teammates were never mad at me. You know, they kept telling me to keep taking shots, you know, keep running the offense, control the game. So I think that's what I'm most proud of today for sure.
One thing I always notice about when you play, when you make a mistake, you're very quick to hit your chest and point over to Coach Forbes.
Yeah,
why?
Man, yeah, because they know, especially, you know, if I you know, miss a read or, you know, bad shot, I tell them, you know, that's not going to happen again. That's on me.
Have you ever rolled the quad at Wake?
Yeah. I did it last game, I think Clemson, when we played Clemson at home.
I rolled it last time. Is that going to be in the cards tonight?
I think so. It might be. You know, if I hear about it, you know, I might go ahead and show up and everything like that.
See, you've only been here for a little while, but I'm sure you've noticed around town, a lot of people wear light blue, it feels like. Does that add to the incentive to get a win like tonight?
I feel like, you know, we every game, you know, we come out, you know, we think we're going to win. We were like one of the best, you know, offensive teams, you know, in the country. So we feel like, you know, it's going to be trouble, you know, just stopping us on the offensive end. We just have to, you know, do our thing defensively and we'll be all right.
Do you know how many minutes a game you averaged when you were at Florida?
I think like 27, 26. It wasn't that many.
28 last year, 27 the year before that. You're at 36 minutes a game now. Is there an adjustment physically to being able to do that?
In the summer, when I first got here, you know, I took like a month off of basketball, like after I graduated. So, you know, once I got here, Starkey, he got me in shape. So, I applaud Starkey for that one. He got me in shape for sure.
How do you celebrate wins like this?
Go home, rest. Go home and rest, and get ready for the next one for sure.
No doubt, Ty. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Appreciate the time from him. WD, I'm disappointed in myself. B-Dot, he's going to be in studio with the Sixth Man of Carolina Basketball. I just couldn't find a spot to say God is good to somebody.
Oh, that's right, you were supposed to do that.
WD, you were getting video of this. Like, somebody standing there watching. Like, I knew when he gave me that line that there was no way I could work that in seamlessly into, because it's not even a question. It's not a question. It's a statement hoping someone to respond to, which is not the prompt of grammar school. It's not.
But what you could have done, because he had a heck of a night. You're like, God's good.
I was going to do it, but.
And he would have said all the time.
But the Wake Forest sports staffer there is going to look at me like I have two heads if I do that.
There was no
I want to be professional. There was. He was standing right there.
In that moment?
Yeah, Keon was there.
He must have been behind me.
He was right behind you, watching the entire interview happen, making sure that I don't ask crazy stuff.
I mean, hey.
Understandably so, by the way. We've got unusual questions that we're going to play
later
on today. Oh, by the way, Wake Forest next in action. It's the Hall of Fame weekend, so they're going to have a lot of luminaries in Winston-Salem Saturday against Georgia Tech. Reese Builders has our Wake Forest giveaway sponsored. And in addition to that, also on the Winston-Salem Fairgrounds Annex campus out that way, the ACCHL, the ACC Hockey League, has the first weekend of a few that they have in February. Starting this week, we're going to be giving away tickets to that as well later this hour. So your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets for two events out there on the Annex
Fairgrounds, the Winston-Salem Fairgrounds out that way, in about 20 minutes, your chance to win. Real quickly, looking at tonight's schedule, it's another hoop night, but it's kind of a bummer of a hoop night. Charlotte's facing the Washington Wizards. This is the last game before the trade deadline. So let's hope. Let's cross our fingers. Let's get on our knees and pray that this is the last time that we see Mason Plumlee, Terry Rozier, we see Gordon Hayward in a Charlotte uniform.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I think that they're going to move Rozier. I think they're going to move Plumlee, but you would think Oubre would be the easiest to move, but he still hasn't returned from injury yet. I don't think they're going to move Gordon Hayward. But I still think Rozier and Plumlee, they figure something out. At worst, it'll be at least Plumlee going. So you got that tonight, and you've got three ACC games that, frankly, I just don't give a rip about. Syracuse at Florida State, Notre Dame at Georgia Tech, Boston College at Virginia Tech. None of those teams might make the NCAA tournament. None of them. So you know what tonight's about. Swayze night.
It's Swayze night.
Last night when I got home, I couldn't go to sleep. Again, I was bummed out by the Carolina Post game. Yeah. So you know what I did? I started to get to work on today's show, and I threw on Roadhouse.
And how did that go?
It's just a dumb movie that cheered me up.
Well, I'm doing the double feature tonight. I'm doing Roadhouse on my own because I'm a man of the people, and everybody wants me to watch it.
Ghost.
And then Ghost.
Ghost. I might watch Ghost tonight, too, because better than watching these basketball games. Better than that.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
Huber, how would you describe the chemistry on the team right now? Armando seemed to think that was another area that could potentially be improved as the rest of the season goes.
I do. I agree with Armando on that.
That was Hubert Davis last night. In 15 minutes, we're going to play Not Verbatim, which is one of the games BDOT plays on social media after North Carolina games.
I haven't done it in a while, man.
So that should be good in 15 minutes. That was a press conference a lot of people were analyzing from last night. Since I got you here, we've got grammar school that we're going to play in a second. We haven't had a chance to talk about your first experience at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Obviously not the result that you wanted, but the experience. I said on Monday that was the loudest I've ever heard Cameron, because usually for that game, there are more celebrities, there are a lot of former players. It's not the diehard fans that are living and dying by every possession. There were a lot of those in the stands. It was the nastiest, it was the drunkest, it was the loudest I've ever heard Cameron Indoor Stadium. Yeah. But what did you think?
I was told to shut up and sit down. I was flipped off by a guy in front of me, and a guy behind me called me an a-hole. So I enjoyed, you know, just the camaraderie with the Duke fans. Of course, it wasn't the results I wanted. They were raucous. The first person I saw was Show Smooth, a.k.a. Chris Lee, outside doing his hit for the news. And he just looked so professional and great out there. I wanted to run and interrupt his set and give him a big kiss on the face, but I didn't. I just put it on my Instagram.
Very nice of you.
It was cool, though, man. Like I was telling you off air a second ago, it was interesting because my vantage point, I'm so used to being so close and in such close proximity to the action, whether I have tickets right with the family section or I'm working on the court, that I was so far away that I didn't feel like I got to, I didn't feel like I got to.
Say what you mean. You wanted to curse out Jeremy Roach in real time.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get to impact the game the way that BDOT would have liked to have impact, like six man would have liked to impact the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to fraternize with the fans. And again, the guy behind me, he got upset because I was standing up cheering. He's like, bro, can you please just sit? I was like, dude, I've waited my whole life to come to Cameron and watch Carolina Duke. Like, I'm not going to sit down often. I'm not going
to
know that.
I hate the person that tells people at shows or at games to sit down.
And he's
hate
like, well, if you're not going to sit down, then you're an a-hole.
You wanted to be that guy that rolled up on Pitt right after that timeout.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to do.
That's BDOT.
I wanted to jump out there on the floor. Let's go.
Did you get in trouble for that? Running out there? Because there was the Pitt player that gestured, who is this guy?
And then the other two that were pointing like, hey, man, get him. They were snitching.
A fan just ran on the floor. Yeah. No. That's six man.
Absolutely. Get it right, my boy. You did? Six. Nah, but he was on me anyway, man, Jeff, because he's from Charlotte. What's my man name? Gosh, what is the dude who torched us?
Cummings?
Mm-mm, the other one.
Henson.
Is that his name?
I don't know.
Henson? I don't remember.
Camarius Burton?
Burton, yeah, him. The one with the little bitty cornrows that didn't all the way reach all the way to the end. I was letting him know about that, too. every time he was taking free throws. So by the time I ran on the court, they were pretty tired of my foolishness.
Have you already taken notes on these Duke freshmen, things that you're going to say to them when you're on the floor next time?
I'm never prepped like that. I'm never prepped. It's all freestyle.
The crazies are.
They're super prepped.
They've got the notes. They're Duke students.
I mean, they put out some nasty work, though. That game, that was some nasty work, Josh. I mean, they were just chanting
names and stuff. It was the drunkest and nastiest I've ever heard, Cameron.
Hey, respect to that guy, though. Respect to the guy who got so drunk he passed out and they had to, like, stop the game and escort him out. That was OG. I like that now.
Happens 4 or 5 times a year. I don't know how it doesn't happen every game.
I like that now. Now, that right there.
It's hot in there.
That was pretty. He should be, he should be getting it in on campus.
Let's get to grammar school.
Right. Josh Graham has his own way of speaking. And just when you think it can't get any worse, rah, 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 Josh is going to attempt to learn B-Dot's vernacular.
I'm
going to
put one in the air.
It's time for B-Dot's Grammar School.
Nobody better than B-Dot. Pre-game, during game, post-game.
Brought to you by Heritage Hardwood Floors. When it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling.
It's pronounced Heritage Hardwood Floors. Make sure you get that right. But nevertheless, Grammar School brought to you courtesy of my good folks over there at Heritage Hardwood Floors. Man, we appreciate them. As a matter of fact, tomorrow night, I'll be going and making my first and only trip all season to Winston-Salem State University.
Oh, you're
going
to be in the building, Gaines Center?
I get to actually touch the Heritage Hardwood Floor. Because they actually did the design and the flooring there. If you need them to come to your school, do your gym, do your kitchen, do your living room, whatever. They do businesses, they do homes, they get it in. What is it? The ceiling is the roof? Is that what it is?
Yeah, the ceiling's the roof, that, as Michael said.
Oh, yeah, no, theirs is when it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling.
There we go.
Thank you, Catherine and Jesse. Dig it. Grammar school is very simple. If this is your first time checking us out, first of all, where have you been? We've only been doing this 3 years. But welcome. And we got everybody playing too. Like players, coaches, like everybody play NBA. They in the NBA playing grammar school. It's pretty ridiculous.
RJ,
we need to get this trademarked.
RJ looked at me last night after the game saying, "You're not going to ask me one of these types of questions, are you?"
Yeah.
Like,
nah.
No, I'm not going to do that to you.
God, he was good, not right? In the mood. Right. Could hit him with a guy
no,
as good.
No, I told you I wasn't going to be able to work that in.
Not in Carolina, but on the Duke side, you could have.
That would have been really hard.
No, it wouldn't have.
A lot of white folks on that team,
Jeremy Roach gets it. Jeremy Roach is he's your token. He gets it. You go to Jeremy Roach, you put your hand up in the air like a high five, and you say, "God is good." And he's going to say, "All the time."
Also, I think you violate your own prompt. You have to give me a word to incorporate in a question, not a statement itself.
I'm telling you, though, that's how it works.
I know.
I
need to incorporate something into a question, not use a statement.
No, you can't tell me how you have to use these words. It's not going to always be a question. Sometimes it's just going to be a call and response in the locker room it might not be God is good. That might not be one. But sometimes there are just calls and responses, Josh.
Okay, so to even this out a little bit,
gosh,
just so I'm not the only one looking stupid, not knowing some of the terms of the urban vernacular, as you put it, I've got a caucastic question for you.
All right.
Who's Patrick Swayze?
Oh, my God. That hunk from the 90s who was in Ghost. Ooh, he's gone now. I think did he get paralyzed? I don't know if he got paralyzed, but I know we lost Patrick Swayze. But he was.
Did you kill Patrick Swayze? I don't know if Patrick Swayze's dead.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
100%.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah. Thanks, Lisa.
Okay.
Because I clearly didn't know what I was talking about.
He knows more about Patrick Swayze than I do.
I love Patrick Swayze. And Ghost.
He didn't know who Patrick Swayze was yesterday.
Now the context, yeah.
So he's watching Ghost and Roadhouse tonight.
Because I rolled up in here looking like Patrick
you
Swayze.
You look just like Patrick. As I was sitting here saying, I was like, wow.
He's about to have a crush on Demi Moore.
Dude, Demi Moore was so hot. Listen. Ghost is so amazing. Like, that movie aged super well. I watched
tonight,
that like a year ago.
Tonight, I'm gonna watch it. WD's gonna watch it. I've already seen it, but
and Roadhouse.
Let's talk pottery.
Now, Roadhouse, I don't know if I may have seen it once. I haven't seen it well enough to dedicate it to memory. I wouldn't throw that out as a Patrick Swayze.
That's what I'm saying. I think we made the right choice with Ghost. What's the first word you got for me though?
First you have to use fluke.
Oh.
Okay, you have to use fluke in a sentence in an interview this weekend.
Fluke being like something wasn't legit.
Correct.
Okay, I can do that.
All right.
I'll do that.
Fluke is your word. Last week you get a 0.
I got a 0.
All right. You didn't even try.
I did try. Every time I talk to somebody, I was thinking about this. I'm in the Duke locker room after their biggest win, and all I'm thinking is, God is good, God is good.
For those who are clueless right now, each week we give Josh words and phrases that he has to use out in the field. Okay, it's not him just learning the words now. So the term last week was the call and response, God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
That's the call and response. Okay, so he was supposed to use that last week in any locker room. He chose not to. He could have used it last night with Coach Forbes.
I told him he could have used it with Tyree Apple. He
definitely
could have
used it with Apple.
It was just me and him WD filming.
Oh, that was perfect.
And there was a sport. No. There was a media, like a sports media staffer standing right there that I didn't want to look like a jackass in front of.
See, why do you feel like using the vernacular is making you look like a jackass?
If he wants to judge your religion, that's his problem.
Facts.
What's the first word you have for me?
You know, I'm getting disappointed. I'm starting to think you're making a mockery of this segment and
not
really trying to use it and instill it in your life.
I'm not.
A mockery?
I don't really like what's going on right
what's
now.
What's the first word?
All right. What does it mean to double up?
Double up.
Yeah, double up.
Which is different than leveling up.
Totally different from leveling up, which is a great song by Ciara.
Yeah. 336-777-1600.
That's what Josh Graham does when he needs to use you as a lifeline. Yes, we would like for you to participate in today's show. Call up 336-777-1600 if you know what it means to double up.
And I'll even bribe you. We've got one more pair of tickets for Wake Forest, Georgia Tech Saturday. And I think we're going to couple that with ACC Hockey League championship tickets as well.
You ought to be
so
ashamed
if you help me out,
you ought to be
those
ashamed
tickets
yourself.
Are yours. No, ashamed.
You ought to be ashamed.
I'm competitive,
yourself.
Just trying to win the game, Dot.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Double up.
Double up.
Are you not going to try to talk through it and try to?
Double up.
Don't sing. Don't rap. That was horrible.
No.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There was a song that had a similar cadence to that had me thinking. Double up.
Mm. I'm
just
going to
say.
I don't think it was that cadence at all, if we're quite honest.
Double up. I'm going to say...
Interestingly enough, there is a song called Double Up.
Huh. Any good?
Oh, it's great. It's by Nipsey Hussle.
R.I.P. Double up. I'm just going to say double up means that... What do you tell me if I'm in doubt and I don't know something?
No. That's not what do I tell you. It's what have you decided you're going to do.
This is your
There's
advice.
One of two answers that you like to depend on if you're stumped. And they are what? One is drugs. One is guns.
So I'm going to go with guns and say that it's like two pistols.
All holding two guns.
That's right.
You doubling up.
Double up.
I like what you did right there.
That's it.
See, that's all you got to do sometimes is think it through. I mean, you'll still be wrong like now. But it's important that you think it through. No, that's not what double up means.
Okay, what's it mean?
It pretty means to get $40 worth of something for
$20. Oh! Okay, so like you pay half or say it again?
Yeah, you get like $40 worth of drugs for $20.
Oh, well, okay.
Should have went drugs. People also do it with the EBT cards. Yeah, but the food stamp cards. Like somebody give you $50 and then you let them use $100 worth of your food stamps. It's 100% illegal, but people do it.
What's the next one?
What does it mean if something is bogus?
If something's bogus, it means it's illegitimate.
Hmm.
It means it's like terrible quality, bad.
Hmm. I'll give you that on bogus. Terrible quality, fake, sort of in the same vein.
Okay,
it.
I was going to say fake, but yeah,
I don't think he was.
All right.
What's also interesting is how you didn't use WD as a lifeline
on
that first
one.
Yeah, that was kind of strange, and I felt like WD knew that one.
I love the Nipsey Hussle song.
Yeah, double up.
All right, what's the last one?
All right, what's a bucket? In the hood, what's a bucket?
Which is different than describing a basketball player as a bucket?
Correct. Totally different.
Do I have a lifeline?
Not at the moment.
Okay. Sorry, just saw you on the phone over there.
A bucket. In the hood, what do we call a bucket?
336-777-1600.
And you need this to get a satisfactory grade.
I do.
Yeah, because you missed the first one, which was double up.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the second one.
Yeah, bogus.
Which was bogus.
And you have
no
clue
what a bucket is.
So that's a noun, a bucket.
Yeah, it's a noun.
I know what an actual bucket is.
You do verb things with it, though.
Yeah. That's what you were getting in that mixtape.
All right, WD, I'll use you as my lifeline. What's a bucket?
I don't even think I know this one.
Uh-oh.
No?
I don't think I know this
Why did he say it was like what you were doing in the mixtape with such confidence as if he knew what it was?
Right. You made
I was talking about the basketball reference.
Oh.
Yeah,
I was a bucket in that. Okay. A bucket.
You do verb things in the bucket. I'll give you another word for bucket, too.
Please.
This is to help you out since nobody's calling to save your life today. A bucket and a hoopty are the same thing.
Oh, I've heard of a hoopty.
Have you? Hey, DJ, I need a new audio for the intro. Hey, DJ, I've heard of a hoopty right after. I'm going to put one in the air. Thanks, DJ.
Who am I going to, WD?
Oh, my gosh, that was hilarious.
See,
it always happens that
the moment that I need help, they're not there.
Artie, what do you got for us?
Artie, what's a bucket?
My kids call it a donk, but it's an old vehicle that's barely usable, if usable at all.
Thank you, Artie.
Thank you very much, Artie. Get Artie's information so you can give him his tickets.
That's right.
Now, Artie didn't call up here for free. He didn't call up here to help you. He called up here for them tickets.
If you need tickets, call us back, Artie.
Absolutely. Congratulations, Artie. Is that your final
answer?
That's
my final answer.
That is 100% correct. A bucket, a hoopty, an old vehicle, Josh Graham.
And that's been Grammar School.
Oh, I've heard of a hoopty. Oh, that's...
I'm going to put one in the air.
Yo, I need a clip. So at the end of the year, bro, we just dropping all of those. Oh, just a montage. It's going to be like a 4-minute montage of just your little ridiculous sayings.
You're on the Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
I'm not going to look forward to tomorrow the nuclear overreactions from Carolina fans. I like Wake Forest to win tonight.
Fitting that it ends in the hands of Ty Appleby. 35 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists, and a big win at home for Wake Forest.
I like Virginia tonight. Give me the home teams in the big ACC matchup.
The final seconds here as Virginia has pulled into a 3-way tie for first place in the ACC.
And I think LeBron's going to break the record tonight.
Westbrook with it. Give it to LeBron at the right elbow. LeBron, one-on-one against Kenrick Williams. Backing him in. Turns. Shoots. Scores! There it is! All hail the new king in town!
As we welcome Darren Bott to the show, when you go 3-for-3 in some picks like that last night, you deserve a victory lap. Tap yourself on the back sometimes. Pat yourself on the back. I don't know why I said tap. That'd be weird if you were just tapping yourself on the back. Pat yourself. A little bit more comforting.
You're trying to get your own attention. Just tap yourself. That's what you do. You tap someone on the back when you're just like, hey, guy.
That's right. So, just patting myself on the back. Darren joins the show. You know him from High Point Basketball, doing play-by-play for them and doing play-by-play in other contexts. You know him as the voice of the USA Baseball podcast. What's the title of that again, Darren Bott?
Well, okay.
Covering the bases.
It's covering the bases, but that's been on hiatus for like a year and a half.
I still have this written down as being Darren Bott's title. So sorry about the defunct.
As if he's not your friend and you don't know what's going on with him.
Come on. Yeah, it's all good.
He doesn't listen to our podcast.
I don't need to listen for this segment. Anyway,
yeah, what about the other?
I see clips.
The other 2 hours and 45 minutes.
If you say something particularly compelling and I get word of it, I make it a point to listen. Yeah.
No, likewise.
Yeah.
Likewise.
You don't need to listen to my stuff. We all do stuff. Like, that's the thing about being in these circles. Like, everybody does stuff. Like, I'm thrilled if you were to listen to something that I do and just say something nice about it, or anybody else who's, I mean, you know it. You do 3 hours of radio a day, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's borderline impossible to hear and see everything.
Yeah. Still expect that of you, though. Let's get to unusual questions.
Last week, guys, everybody made it out that I got mad at Josh and I left the press conference. That's not right. I thought it was an unusual question, and it's okay.
It's time for Unusual Questions with Josh Gray.
Let me start for one for the room. What's the deal with Twitter?
Can't tweet?
Yeah. Twitter's down. Apparently,
wait,
they were
what?
Trying to...
You can't tweet, Darren. Try it.
Yeah. Apparently, Twitter's down.
If you try and send a tweet, it'll give you a, you have reached your Twitter or your tweet limit.
Yeah, my
day.
Tweet
Hold
deck's
on.
Not even working.
Right.
Hold on.
Yeah. This is...
Let's see in real time.
This is crippling.
To see if Darren Vaught can tweet something at both me and
I've had other things going on, and I've scrolled some Twitter, but I haven't realized,
I think you can only tweet if you schedule a tweet. I think that's the thing that's happening right now.
We're sorry we weren't able to send your tweet. Would you like to retry or say, no, we're not. Okay. We're not going to retry. We're not going to put that in drafts because it was a test.
So don't tweet the show. We can't see it. 336-777-1600 if you got an unusual question for Darren Vaught, myself, and the WD. Earlier today, I'll get us started for real. Earlier today, I had a dentist appointment. Last Friday, for the first time in my life, I forgot that I had a dentist appointment, and I felt terrible that I had overslept it, and I got the phone call, hey, and the lady seemed mad at me, even though she wasn't saying mean things at all. It just seemed like she was mad. So then I got one rescheduled for today. And I know that the people who are at that dentist office listen to this show. Not going to impact what I say right here, though. What is the appropriate level of conversation to have with somebody who's cleaning your teeth? Like, I'm talking from my end. The person that did my teeth today was fantastic. Her name is Meredith. She was fantastic. Two thumbs up to her. She was just straight down the middle. Like, let's just get the business, get this thing over with, get you out of here, which I appreciated. But it's still kind of like, what's the small talk that you should initiate in? What's the appropriate level of conversation the person as a human being to have in that situation?
This is fundamentally similar but different from another circumstance that I find to be sort of offering up the same questions, and that's getting a haircut. But while you're being worked on by a dental hygienist, you, in a lot of cases, literally can't talk to them.
Yes. But they do try to talk to you sometimes. Again,
they do every time, and they're the most pleasant people on planet Earth. I think they're the top category of anyone. So, like, you feel bad that you can't. The woman who normally cleans my teeth when I go to the dentist, like, we've gotten to know each other. Her husband is an athletic director in the Triangle at a high school. So it's a high school that I've covered once or twice before. So, like, we sort of talk high school sports, and she's very interested in me working in sports. So she's got plenty of questions as far as that's concerned, and that's that sort of thing. But most of the time, like, she'll ask a question and she's got two tools in my mouth. And it's like, I don't know what you want from me here.
Who won the game last night? Wait for it.
Okay, good. Now spit. Like,
let's go to Andy in High Point, who has an unusual question for us. Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, hey, Josh. It's cereal soup.
Thank you.
No.
No.
Thank you, Andy. It's not. Thank you, Andy.
How do you distinguish?
Appreciate the call, Andy. There's no such thing as hot cereal. I mean, maybe they're technically...
Oatmeal.
Then that's oatmeal. It's oats. they all got different names, Will. Just call them by their different names.
I've heard oatmeal called hot cereal before.
No, I'll answer that question with saying cereal's not the same as soup because soup isn't a meal. Cereal is.
Is it?
Yeah, that's breakfast. Yeah, dog. That's breakfast. Dog. If you have cereal, that's enough.
Sometimes cereal's dinner.
I don't know about that.
I do. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're a little more domesticated than me.
See, I don't remember the last time I've had cereal. I don't eat breakfast. I do intermittent fasting during the day. So I swear on whatever. I haven't had cereal in years, plural.
I don't know that you need to call it that. You can just say you're a finicky eater during the day.
Dude, I love cereal. I as a kid, I used to love cereal. When I was in college, I ate cereal. But I cut breakfast out of my diet. I don't eat breakfast. So I eat early lunch, and then I eat dinner.
A lot of people do that. Intermittent fasting. But like, Josh, you're an adult, man. If at any point you just want a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you can go to the store. You can grab it.
I know, but then I'm going to have that. But here's the thing. They don't sell those in one bowls. They don't. So if I get a box of cereal, I'm going to have that urge once. And then I'm just going to have a box of cereal sitting there for another year that doesn't get eaten. It's just going to be Fruity Pebbles or Cap'n Crunch sitting on the fridge.
All right. This has become a new question. You've got a half a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch in your home. You're really not going to eat it for a year?
Okay. There's a chance.
I find that so hard to believe.
There's a chance I'm probably going to eat that Cinnamon Toast
Crunch. The next night!
What's your unusual question, Darren Vaught?
All right, so this is a situational question. I was leaving the campus at UNC last night, where I teach my course 2 days a week. And as I was starting my car to exit the parking area on campus where I parked, two spots down from me, there was an empty spot in between me and this vehicle. Two spots down from me, I was looking down at my phone and I heard a crunch. So I look up, of course. There is a person who has backed into this vehicle two spots down from me. Now, this person does not realize I'm in my car, even though my lights are on and my car is running. I assume they don't realize, because they certainly did not act like someone bore witness to this whole thing. She gets out of the vehicle. She gives it a quick look. And she drives away.
Ha!
To reveal a very obvious mark where she hit this other car. So, in this case, do you do as I did, take note of the license plate number, pull out a scrap piece of paper, write that on there? Hey, saw the whole thing. This person backed into your car and just left. WTF. Here's their license plate number. My name is Darren. Here's my phone number. And stuck it under their windshield. I got a call and a voicemail from this person earlier today. Happy to help them out, because what a trash move.
This guy, Darren, what a flex. This is Seriously. Darren flexing in a major way right now. If the beginning of this segment wasn't a great enough flash or flex for yours truly, then Darren Vaught being a great human being. And you know, I'm cool with it. I like guys posting their L's, or posting their W's, I should say, like Darren's doing right now on a radio show. It's great. I definitely would do that. I definitely would. WD might not, because he's always said he's the guy that never, ever would consider pulling over to the side of the road to help somebody.
I did not say I would never, ever consider it.
You said you
wouldn't. This is like the one scenario you gotta snitch, Will.
Right.
I was right there. And this
the question that would be great for unusual questions. Do snitches get stitches in this instance? Like, does every snitch deserve stitches? I don't know.
I'm like, yeah, no. Are there karmic forces at play to the point where I'm going to walk out to my car later and it's going to be scuffed up because someone else backed into it and just drove away?
What's your unusual question, WD?
So this is actually something I saw in a tweet earlier. I think one of our fans, Andrew Chwinowski on Twitter,
He put out a tweet saying that he went to Costco and bought one item and he feels like he did something wrong.
Oh, every time.
So the question,
I get myself a rotisserie chicken and I'm leaving. They're like, that's it?
So that was,
yeah.
So that was my question. It's like, would you go to a Costco or Sam's Club and only get one thing?
Easily. And you know why? Because I'm going to the food court to get the hot dog and the Mountain Dew, and I'm also gassing up.
That's right.
So even though in this line I have one thing for you in this self-checkout, getting myself a hot dog and a drink for $1.50, and then I'm going to fill up my car with gas. That's usually 20 cents cheaper than the gas that you get other places.
I could see it happening because I don't, like, there's not a lot that I would buy in bulk. So, right? I mean, like, I don't buy everything.
That's what I'm saying. So, like,
I don't need the
every time I go to Costco, I'm not buying something in bulk. I'm going to get a rotisserie chicken for my lunches for the week, or I'm going to get the, here's a clutch one. Take note of this, WD. The street tacos that they have.
Ooh.
It's 12 little tortillas with, like, some cilantro and some avocado salsa and some regular salsa, some cheese, and then you have the chicken in there. You could just make yourself four different lunches, separate that stuff out. Boom, you're set for your lunches for the week.
I get my coffee from Costco in bulk.
There you
Massive
go.
Bag for $10.
There you go. I'm about it.
Yep.
I support that. I do. Yeah. I think this was a really productive, unusual question, Sesh. I think we learned some things. We learned that.
I don't think you actually answered
the question. What's the appropriate amount of conversation to have with somebody who has utensils and tools in your mouth? Like, is nothing okay? You got to acknowledge a human's existence, work in a service.
If you know them, right?
Or even if you don't. I didn't know the person that was working on my teeth today. She's cleaning my teeth, and then the doctor comes in. I didn't know who she was, but I was friendly, polite, before tools went in my mouth. And guess what? To her credit, she didn't talk to me while tools were in my mouth, and I appreciated that.
That's good. That's the mark of a good dental hygienist.
Yeah, because I can't talk back. But I just need to know what the bare minimum is. That's what I had to figure out. And then soup's not cereal, and cereal's not soup. It's okay to go to Costco and buy something, one thing.
Yeah.
That's okay. And Darren Vaught, I don't even think it was really much of a question what he asked, but a nice flex of him doing a nice thing.
No, I mean, it was sincere, and then some people don't like getting in other people's business.
Including Dave and Winston Salem, who writes in, tell Darren snitches get stitches.
Oh,
there you go. He's also not
a fan
of
WD. That's
what I
was anticipating.
Yeah,
I was anticipating way more.
Dave's not a fan of yours.
He doesn't
not
like
Dave
me.
And Clemens. Dave
no,
likes
Dave,
you.
He loves me.
Dave and Winston Salem says, has WD dried his salty little Tar Heel hole tears? That's what he wrote in.
I wasn't salty in the first place, Dave. I need to meet Dave. This needs to happen. Because I don't like people not liking me.
Yeah. WD is
a
tar hole
that
homer.
That is the greatest instance of self-awareness in your life. Will
I mean, it's facts. I don't like people not liking me. I mean, I'm a.
Can
like,
I
I'm
tell
a,
you a pet peeve of mine? When people say that is facts,
that's facts that you don't like that.
Those are facts.
What about when someone says it's hype rather than hyped, which is actually what makes sense?
I don't really say either one of those.
Circling back to Twitter where we began. Who to follow? No, Twitter. Whom to follow?
Yeah,
Darren, right? Thanks for being here. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you guys.